Hello, friends, and thank you so much for listening to our Hope Canteen podcast, where we look to one of the upcoming Sunday readings for insight into our walk with Christ. This is our 36th episode. My name is Steve London, joined as always by Stephanie London and Michael Rolfe. Glad you're both here today. Just wondering how you're doing today.
I'm doing fine. Nothing unusual to report, I guess. We've been doing some planning the last couple of days for Lent and Easter, which of course will take some different forms than they would in normal years. So I'm excited about seeing where that goes.
I think for me, having the sun out, that has been a huge improvement in my well-being. I just wanting to be outside, even if it's cold. And there's been a full moon hanging over the trees when I get up in the morning. And just, I tried to take a picture of it with my phone. My phone just won't do it justice. But it was beautiful. You have to take my word for it.
This has been an interesting week for me. Focus on mental health. In my police chaplaincy work yesterday, I was with the two detachments that I serve. And of course, yesterday was Bell's Let's Talk About It Day for mm-hmm. mental health. And so there was a lot of conversation about how we're generally coping with the COVID situation and about a few people who are having real difficulties.
That's important to remember. Thank you, Michael. That's actually really good. Mm-hmm. As we turn to the podcast today, we are talking about an event that takes place right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It's a miraculous healing. And if you wish to read it, you can pause the podcast here and turn to Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. In this story, there is a relationship between authority and healing. The setting is Capernaum. This is a fishing village on the Sea of Galilee where Peter is from, and lots of Jesus' early ministry takes place here. He's in the synagogue. This is the main Jewish place of worship outside of the great temple in Jerusalem. This is the place where scriptures would be read and people would interpret them authoritatively. The text then tells us that there's an unclean spirit who appears and who, more than anyone else there, recognizes who Jesus is. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus heals the one who's afflicted, and this really creates some chatter amongst the people. What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Well, there's a lot here to process and to interpret and talk about, and so I would like to invite Stephanie and Michael to help us understand it a little bit more. Just curious, what stood out to you in the reading today?
One thing that strikes me is that this man's crying out, I know who you are, is then interpreted as being his having an unclean spirit. He's recognizing, apparently, Jesus, but he is in fear because of what Jesus might have come to do to him. This is a man who respects the tradition, it sounds like. But Jesus, or at least Mark, the writer of Mark, says that Jesus saw this as some sort of attack. And so Jesus spoke and called out this spirit from him. And then we get that very dramatic picture of him writhing on the ground in some kind of seizure. And then suddenly the spirit is gone. Strikes me that the man, that there doesn't seem to be any follow-up. Like, the spirit departs and that's it. That, you know, how did this, I want to know how this man fared in the rest of his life from that point.
Hopefully better.
I would hope so.
You know, it also strikes me, Michael, I don't know if it's worth saying here, different church traditions approach these texts differently, and maybe just a word about in generally how Anglicans approach questions of like unclean spirits and demons like this. I think one of our ways that we approach it is we say we actually don't know exactly what's going on, that sometimes other traditions spend a lot of time ferrying out what does this mean, a demon or not a demon or an unclean spirit. Other people say, well, this is, as you were talking about earlier, Michael, mental health, and somebody was having a breakdown, and maybe that's true. I think what we tend to do is just say we actually don't know. We're bracketing it, so to speak. What we do know is there's a man who's afflicted and in great pain. And Jesus has performed an incredible healing, that there has been something kind of dark that has been afflicting him. And Jesus has come to bring light and wholeness and healing. And at least for me, I know people come at this differently, but it's enough to say that. And I sort of leave it there because I think we can get lost in speculations about things that perhaps we don't really know a whole lot about. But I'd be interested in your take as well.
I think there's interesting dynamics here with Jesus coming up against, I'll say, forces or opposition, not just in the evil spirit, but also with the authorities. This story really starts to, I think, hammer home this major swing that Jesus goes through across the length of his ministry, that he starts out, he's healing people, he's teaching, people recognize this authority, and he's super popular. There's people following him all over. And what happens that this super popular, amazing, miraculous person by the end of the Gospels is being crucified outside the city, outside the religious establishment. And I think this story shows us one of the reasons why that is. And that's that Jesus is coming up against authority. I like this line in verse 22 of the reading today, that he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So apparently they weren't very good teachers, or they weren't really giving the people some good meaty teaching. So I think when Jesus is coming up against the scribes and also coming against these spiritual, what they call spiritual realities that, as Steve was saying, we don't fully understand, it's saying something to us about the kind of authority that Jesus is speaking with, and that he's coming up against opposition from different fronts.
And I think it's important to recognize that Jesus, part of the authority, I think, is actually connected with the healing. I think part of the issue with the scribes is there is a way of teaching authoritatively where you refer to other authorities, where the Bible says this, or the rabbis say that, or the tradition tells us this. And I think what Jesus is doing is something different. He doesn't defer to other authorities. In fact, he speaks, the authority is resident in himself. And I think what is, at least how I often take this, these spirits, these demons, is that there is a darkness. There is some kind of spiritual darkness that takes place on many different levels. So I think with the scribes, it's about jealousy. You know, mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons, like you were saying, Stephanie, that they just want to get rid of him. He's obviously more popular. And so they're driven by this. It will become a murderous jealousy over time. And I think we want to say, but also, of course, there's just a deeper darkness in the human heart, and God is coming to heal it. And I think that's what we see here.
Interestingly, here once again, the lectionary sort of sets the stage. The passage that we would read from Deuteronomy on this Sunday talks about the one who will come, that there will be a great authority. And now suddenly here we are in Mark's gospel reading, the authority's here.
And the way that authority is demonstrated is these things that bring God's life into the world. So healing the sick, casting out demons, teaching the things of God. They're showing this part of this bigger project, I guess.
I think it's worth remembering here the interesting conversation that Jesus has with Peter when Peter confesses Jesus in Matthew and has this interesting phrase, "On this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And normally I think people think that that's a defensive thing. The gates of hell will attack the church, but the church will survive. But it's the other way around, actually, that there is an offensive. God is bringing the kingdom of God. He is healing people. He's forgiving sins. He's denouncing corrupt powers like Herod and things like this, and bringing God's plan for the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. And all that which is darkness and which holds back the human heart, which keeps us from being the people that God has created us to be, God's coming. God's bringing his love, and it has authority and power.
That's right. I have this image of the stage being set. Everything's being put in place the way it has to be, but we have yet to see the end of the play.
That's a good way to put it. I love that. Maybe that's what hope is. One of our parishioners wrote a article about hope for the Hope Canteen. And I wonder if hope is the fact that we keep persevering through hard times because we do have hope that the end of the play will be a good one.
Yep.
And that there's definitely reason not to just give up.
Yeah, we have that verse about faith being the conviction of things not seen. And I think hope would probably be in that same category. It's something that you don't see, but that is, I guess, Jesus is gradually bringing to bear on various things in the world.
It's interesting that Mark's, obviously the author of the Gospel of Mark, for him, the healing was the important thing. There are many instances of healing, and most of them are outlined in Mark's Gospel, because that was a big deal for this writer, that Jesus came to bring healing to the community, in the community.
Yes. I think it's worth noting, to tag on to that, Michael, that this unclean spirit recognizes Jesus and says, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And it's interesting because, of course, holiness with God and holiness with us means slightly different things. With God, of course, it means what the ancient Israelites experienced on Mount Sinai: God's splendor, power, purity, awesomeness, transcendence, greatness. And then for us, holiness is derivative. You know, it's something we get from God. It's us being set right. It's our wholeness. It's our wellness. You know, out of that comes our walking with God according to his commandment of love. And I think Jesus in that is bringing the holiness of God, which is, again, a healing, loving power with authority that sets things right.
The man with the unclean spirit obviously recognized this. Here's Jesus standing up in the synagogue, teaching, to the amazement of the people. Like, you can picture the assembly gathered, and they're all with their mouths open and unable to speak because of what Jesus is saying. They're just so amazed, and that this one man is able to see that Jesus is different. Jesus is the one who is to come from God. So it was important to hear his recognition of Jesus' place, even though it was seen to be as an outspoken person with some sort of illness in him, mental illness, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the really curious things about this gospel is Jesus tells people, don't tell anyone. And yet the ones who are saying, I know who you are these unclean spirits. And it's one of those odd things that we think it would be the opposite.
Well, that might be a discussion for another podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. That's more than we have time for.
So as we come to the end of our podcast, we reflect on what might speak to us during this COVID time. Personally, I'm just curious, what does speak to you?
I would say it reminds me to look for where God's life is breaking into the world. And that happens in so many different ways. But I remember what you were saying about God actively launching this offensive. When I use the word breaking in, it's a very active thing. And that hasn't stopped with what we have recorded in the New Testament. God is still breaking into the world. And some of that, I think, is just a matter of opening our eyes to where it's happening. So that's my reminder to look for those things in my life this week.
I think what I take with this is that, like 70 said, God is breaking in. I believe there is a promise that God wants to walk with us and wants to walk with us in Christ. And God wants to break in and bring healing. And yes, sometimes it's really dramatic like this, but we also know that sometimes it's long-term with chronic issues. Paul talks about this in his letters, where he has to live with what he calls the thorn in his side, which on a personal level, I believe that he had some very serious eye problems and they were never healed. But in both cases, we know that God brings healing and blessings. So even though Paul didn't have the healing of his eyes, he did know the salvation, grace, and mercy of God. And I think for him, that was at the forefront. So I think for me, I take from this, yeah, absolutely, God walks with me. And, you know, there's a couple of big dilemmas that I am praying through right now that I don't know exactly how they're going to resolve. But every day I write them down in my little prayer journal and I pray to God to give me insight. And I do keep walking forward because I know that God wants to bring me through it. So listeners, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. We really do enjoy having these conversations, looking at scripture, and having conversations back and forth. We would also love for you to be part of this conversation. If you wanted to leave comments or thoughts, either on the Hope Canteen website where we post this, or you can mail them to us as well through email. Anyway, I hope you have a great week, and we will see you next week.
Talk to you later.
Take care.